Welcome to Crosspoints, a podcast to help you make Christ the center of your life. Brought to you by Crosspoint Christian Church in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. I'm your host, Gary Abood Jr. In an increasingly busy world, it can be difficult to stay connected to your church between Sundays. It's our hope that this podcast will help to fill that gap. On this episode, we'll be speaking with Associate Pastor Jason Copeland about communication in your marriage and why it matters so much. Pastor Jason will be giving us some actionable steps and helping us understand why communication is key to your marriage. Pastor Jason Copeland, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So we're talking about a topic that is specific to certain people and certain seasons of life. We're talking about the topic of marriage today, premarital counseling, things that we can be doing in our marriages to both prepare for being married and to succeed and flourish while we are married. And we know that you do a lot of premarital counseling. And so we want to kind of kick off this discussion of this important topic today by asking, what is the goal of marriage in general?
That's a great question. And I want to even refine that question a little bit to talk about the goal of Christian marriage. Just because in our society today, marriage can mean a lot of different things. And so when I'm counseling someone, and when we counsel people here towards marriage at Crosspoint, we're counseling them towards a Christian marriage, by and large. And so when we're talking about the goal of a Christian marriage, it's in one sense not that different than the goal of anyone else's life, which is to glorify God in all that we do. Marriage does provide us with a different opportunity in which to glorify God by living out a parable of Christ's love for the church. Paul goes to great lengths to establish that kind of connection by talking about in Ephesians where the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and how the wife is to submit and honor her husband in the way that the church relates to Christ. And so when Paul makes those connections, it's to give the church this visible representation to better understand Christ's love for us and how we are to love him. And so that's why I think marriage is so important, especially in the Christian community and in our church setting. We want people to look at the marriages of our church and see examples of Christ-like love and Christ-like service and self-sacrifice and all of those things that we see from Jesus that can be played out and amplified in a marriage. And so that would be the goal, I think, of a Christian marriage.
In terms of premarital counseling, then, what would you say is your approach when you're trying to help couples prepare for that goal of marriage?
Yeah. Well, we use a book called Tying the Knot. And that book basically takes the gospel, the truth of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, how it changes everything, and applies it specifically to the marriage relationship. And it looks at various aspects of the marriage relationship. The four main ones that we talk about are communication, finances, the roles of a husband and wife, and then intimacy. Those are kind of the four major areas that we delve into and apply the gospel to those relationships and to the marriage relationship. And so in the premarital context, we're looking at each one of those things and asking the husband and the wife or the fiancés to examine these issues through the lens of Scripture to best understand how they can glorify God through their finances as a married couple, through the way that they communicate to one another, to how they relate to one another, and to their relationship as a husband and wife.
So these are four really important things: communication, finances, especially finances. I think that's something that if anyone's been married for any stretch of time, finances has come up in your conversations and in your life in probably many different ways. But the roles and the intimacy, these four areas, do you find that married couples tend to have more difficulty with one of these areas than another? Or I guess maybe I should ask, is one of these more important than another, even though they all are important?
I think they're all important, like you said. I don't know that I would say one is more important than another generally, but I think in specific seasons of marriage and in specific relationships, one is more important than the other at times. There, I think especially early on, but then it can also be later on, that communication piece is so important because really, I would say that if I had to pick one, it would be that because it affects everything else. And you know, you have to communicate about your finances. You have to communicate about expectations between a husband and a wife. You have to communicate about everything. And so if I were to pick one, it would be that. But there are some couples who just knock the ball out of the park on communication. I mean, they're great, but neither one of them know how to balance a checkbook. I mean, they're running in the red and have been since day one. And so for them, that communication is really going well, but you need to have a tough discussion about finances. There are other people who, you know, finances are great. You know, both of them just, you know, whatever, top earners, who knows. But yet, when it comes to how they relate to one another, and having expectations, biblical expectations of a husband and a wife, they're doing poor. And so that becomes the area that needs addressing. So it varies.
Sure thing. And thinking about that too, from the premarital side of things, do you notice that there's one area that couples come in stronger than another in these four?
Yeah. I think usually the expectation side of things, at least in the ones that I've dealt with, they think they know what they're getting into. Let me say it that way. And I think they have a good idea of it. Marriage is one of those things that you really don't know what you're getting into until you're into it. You can have an idea of how you're going to handle things and stuff along those lines, but you don't fully know what it's going to be like until you're married. But I have found in the couples that I've counseled that when we get to that area of biblical expectations of a husband and of a wife, that there's no surprises usually. They're like, yes, we know this. This is what we're saying. This is what we want. So that one I feel like is usually easier to counsel through. Some that are more difficult, communication. Communication is always seemingly an issue. And so helping them to deal with that and to set up expectations and then ways in which they're going to communicate and to understand the best ways to communicate, I think can be very helpful.
How do couples know when they're ready to take the step into marriage? So, you know, you work with couples who are engaged and preparing for getting married. Do you ever find that couples, they're not ready? Is that ever something that comes up? Or how does one know, maybe better is a question, how does a couple know when they're ready to move forward in marriage?
I think that is a bit of a difficult question because everyone is wired differently in a sense. I'll tell you a few reasons. There are some reasons that the world gives for not getting married and not being ready that I don't think are biblical. You don't have to be rich to get married. You know, you don't have to have your career established to get married. I would even say, even though in most cases I suggest people be, I would say, fully educated or almost there, wherever they feel like they're ending with their education, whether it be trade school or high school. Well, that might be a little young, but college, you know, you should be on your way there or about there, but you don't have to have your master's degree, your PhD, and be fully established in your career and have your 403B. So we set up all these things in the world and people aren't getting married till later and later. And I don't know that that's always healthy. I think for some it is, but it's different for every couple. I think if you are following hard after Jesus and you're firing on all cylinders in your spiritual life and the man or woman that you are connected to is also firing hard and firing well, then you're ready to start thinking about it, provided that you're at an appropriate spot in life as well. You know, I mean, 15-year-olds may hear this and think, oh, we're there. You're not, you know. But as you get older and enter into those early 20s and see the end of the line in terms of education and being ready to launch fully and care for yourselves, you don't have to have all the money, but you need to be able to support yourself financially. It's not a good marital plan to say we're going to get married and then move into mom's basement next week. It's not wise. And so in those cases, we would counsel people to wait and not get married. But it's difficult. It is different because you can have a 22-year-old guy who's very mature and you can have a 42-year-old guy who is not. And so it really varies on the couple.
Based on the individuals. That's really good to remember. So in the terms of the premarital counseling, if you had to pick, is there any specific thing that you would say as a married person yourself mm-hmm. that definitely needs to be kept at the forefront? Or like you need to remember this point from premarital counseling mm-hmm. ideas because this one is going to come back. You mentioned earlier about how important some of these are. I'm wondering if there's a particular idea from mm-hmm. premarital counseling that our married listeners could revisit or think about a little bit themselves?
I think it's the communication piece. I really think establishing good communication early on, because we always think that life is very busy for us in no matter what season we are. But I do believe that in my own life, bringing children into the mix, and we have four kids at home, we love them all, but they have added an element of busyness, of stress, of other things to our life that we just didn't have prior to children. And Becky has often said, my wife Becky's often said, that being married was easy, and I think it was for us and is for us, but being a parent has been very difficult. And so it's taught us to pray more. And so in order to do that well as a couple, we need to communicate frequently. And I think had we not had such good communication prior to children, we would be struggling on a whole other level at this point. And so we give suggestions on little just practical things. You know, Becky and I share a Google calendar, or we share our calendars with one another. So when she's going to do something, it goes in her calendar, I can see it. So I know. So when I'm planning something, okay, well, she'll be here, that's going to be an issue, or she'll think the same. Before Google calendars, we used to have a meeting, her and I, every Sunday night, and pull out our calendars and go through it, because I'm old enough to remember when there were no Google calendars and we were still writing them down. And so things like that, I think, are helpful for communication and understanding, little practical ways. But you have to communicate. I deal mostly in premarital counseling, but in the marital counseling that I have dealt with, it's almost always rooted or began in a lack of communication. And so we've got to do better there.
And so that's one that stands out to me a lot, because even in my own experience, there are seasons where communication is really good, mm-hmm. and then there are other seasons where it isn't as effective. So for those who maybe didn't establish good communication early on in their marriage, or whichever aspects of this, if they didn't have a good start for some reason, or they run into a difficult season of life, what advice do you offer to married persons listening today of how do they hit the reset button? Is there a way to reestablish good communication or expectations or roles or whatever it might be, even after you're already into it?
Yeah, and there is, because marriage is always work, and some people have more work to do than others. But yeah, you it's hard, and there's hard work, but it is worth it. You start with grace in mind. You have to proceed with grace in mind. A lot of times when I'm talking to people who are having trouble, they are assuming things of the other person, or making judgments of the other person, and they're not doing it gracefully. So like sometimes I will hear from more a wife than a husband, but I hear from husbands too. He should know, right? Well, he should know, or she should know. I just always tell a wife, do not assume your husband knows anything, you know, and I don't mean that to be derogatory, but do not assume that a male mind can figure out the female mind.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. He doesn't know. And so you hear that a lot. Well, he should know. He doesn't. Just understand right now he doesn't, and proceed gracefully. You know, don't talk down to him. You know, don't treat him like a child, but explain everything that you think he should know, and do that in a kind way. If you're on the other end, if you're being explained to, don't act like you are offended because they're treating you like a child. Maybe you needed to be treated like a child in that moment. And so take it as being a gift. They're telling you exactly what you need, telling you exactly what they want you to know. Take that as a gift, not as being talked down to. And in both of those circumstances, you're approaching the relationship with grace in mind. You know, I'm not going to assume that he's talking down to me. I'm going to assume that he's giving me exactly what I need to know. Or I'm not going to assume that they know this. I'm going to share it with them, so that, you know, we're communicating clearly. And then end the conversation by saying, have I been as clear as I possibly can? And do that in a kind way. Tone is everything, right? Just by saying, am I being clear? You can say that, am I being clear, right? Or it can be a literal question, like, I really want to make sure that I'm being clear. I want to be sure that I'm being heard. Using that phrase, I hear you. This is, and then repeating back what you think you heard. Because I've sat in conversations before where a husband and a wife are talking, and then they end thinking everything's okay, and I know nothing got solved. They think each of them heard one another and no one heard anything. So repeat back. So what I hear you saying is that you're not happy with the way in which I put the dishes into the dishwasher. You know, is there a way that you prefer? That sounds silly, but some people are listening and they know right now that's a fight they've had at home over the dishes. I also know there is an appropriate way to put the dishes in the dishwasher. And so Becky and I both agree on that. The children, however, are a whole other thing. And that's a whole other podcast series. All right. But having those conversations and being able to have grace and to speak with one another, it will solve so many other issues.
Yeah, that's a really good word there. And I think, you know, for those who are listening, what I'm taking away from this, you know, to practice what I'm hearing right now, mm-hmm. what I'm hearing you say here mm-hmm. is that there is hope that,
yeah, absolutely.
That these tools can be implemented at different points yes. in your marriage and in the season where they might be most needed or most yeah. appropriate, that hope is not lost.
Yeah.
And that if you can get on that same page, it can help you there. But
yeah.
that takes hearing and listening and sometimes maybe revoicing to make sure that everyone's getting the message to each other. So one last thing that I wanted to kind of touch on here, you mentioned earlier that passage from Ephesians 5 mm-hmm. that really is a call for us that Paul exhorts married couples in terms of how they are to show love to one another and how they are to relate to each other. And the big piece there for me that I want to center in on is that it calls for husbands to love their wives as Christ has loved the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that the way in which Christ loved the church was that he died
mm-hmm.
for his church. So I'm wondering, how do husbands who are listening today, or couples listening today together, whatever that might be, how do we put something like that into practice? What does it look like to do that as a husband? And I'm asking you this question rather than the other side of it mm-hmm. because you are a husband. And so I'm interested to hear your perspective on that. Does that mean we need to, you know, die to our individual selves? Do we need to give up everything? How does that play out?
Yeah, well, I mean, it does mean in a sense that we die to our needs, and not that we die to our needs to where they don't matter anymore. But when I talk to young men, when they're getting married, you are committing to putting the needs of your wife ahead of your own, you know, as long as it is biblical, right? I mean, if your wife comes home and is like, I want you to rob a bank, you don't say, well, you know, I mean, Jesus died for the church, so give me a mask, right? You have to be smart about it and you be biblical about it. And what does scripture clearly teach? It's interesting when it talks about in Genesis, Jesus repeats it later, the man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, right? And so part of that picture of Christ loving the church is that he did leave heaven and came down to the church. And so the husband, in a sense, is leaving his family, is leaving that previous life, and is taking his wife now and putting her at the head. You know, that those passages were written in very familial times where the family line was essential. And so we know from tradition and from history that it wasn't like the husband abandoned his family. That was where that was where his worth came from, in a sense. But to even put it in there that way, it's elevating that woman. It's elevating that wife to the person who you now are responsible for above all. And so, yeah, you do put her needs ahead of your own. You do take on a relationship that sometimes the world looks at and is like, oh, he's whipped. You know, he just does whatever she needs. Well, he's also happy, you know, and he's also joyful. And his home life, he likes being at home. So it does mean that you're going to set those things ahead of your own and do that in a biblical way. You know, it doesn't mean that you've abandoned your family. It doesn't mean that you don't see your family on Christmas or that you're only ever with her family, because that's very unhealthy too. But it does mean that you are taking that taking your wife and you are making sure that she is cared for and loved and appreciated in every way.
So if you had to leave our listeners with one thing that you want to make sure they take away from this conversation, what would that be?
Yeah, I think it's that there is hope. You know, you talked and just hit a couple minutes ago on the idea of what if this is already a problem? There's hope. There's hope for people going into marriage. You know, you can do this. You can make this work. The Bible is not silent on marriage. It gives us lots of great ideas. And then if you're in a marriage and it's hard and feels like jail, even, there's hope. So your marriage can be hope-filled and your marriage can be a beacon of hope for people in the community. So it's that there is hope. Don't sit and suffer silently. Find help. And Pastor Matt or I are willing to sit down and have a marriage tune-up. But there is hope. There's hope in marriage, both for those going in and for those already there.
Pastor Jason, thanks so much for being with us today to talk about this important topic of marriage.
Thank you, Gary.